The word of God given to us today is Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. It's on page 305 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. What I am saying is that as long as their heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Amen. Before we begin, may your family and workplace be full of the grace and peace of Christmas. There's a Korean idiom describing the birth of chickens. If a chick is hatched from an egg laid by a mother hen, the chick has to peck the inside of the eggshell to get out of the shell to the world, while the mother hen also helps the pecking when recognizing the chick is pecking inside. This means that if there is something to accomplish, you need to work together when the time is right. Even if a chick pecks inside thousands of times when the mother hen does not care, the chick would helplessly die inside. On the contrary, if a hen tries to help the hatch pecking outside earlier than a chick inside, the chick hardly could survive. Therefore, the pecking should be simultaneously done inside and outside at the right time. In this context, all the naturally born chickens in the world are the outcome of this excellent timing. The birth of a bird is so mysterious. Then how many of God's mysterious wonders are there in the nature beyond our knowledge? Looking back upon our past life, we can understand that we are able to be here thanks to the mysteries and wonders God had performed at the right timing. When in life we pass through every corner of this world, this wild world, God prepared Valuta for us. We also understand, all thanks to our parents, sisters and brothers, and those others whom we don't even remember now, playing the role as a bridge to the grace of God. We are who we are now. We give our thanks to God because God accomplishes the will in the way of God at the right time set by the Lord. Today's scripture tells us that the greatest example of the sad idiom in human history, in verses 1 through 3, what I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Lions usually are called as the king of wild animals. In addition, as lions move in groups unlike tigers, other animals can hardly come at lions. No matter how wild lions are, they're not born to be a king. Lion cubs are so fragile when they were young. On TV shows featuring wild animals, we see a mother lion doesn't take her cub to teach how to hunt until the time has come. Mother lions leave their cubs in the woods when they were too young to hunt. It is not true that zebras and gazelles are not out there waiting there to be eaten. As the success rate of their hunting is only about 20%, it sometimes takes quite a long time to catch something. Young lions hidden in the woods are killed by a group of leopards or hyenas as soon as they were found. As leopards and hyenas know they would be killed when the lions grew up in the future, they kill the source of trouble in advance. Young lions are not able to live alone. They need to be taken care of until when they can hunt. If a mother lion designated a leopard or a hyena as the guardian for her cub, the cub is no different than a cub of a leopard or a hyena. They have to do what leopards or a hyena direct them to do. In ancient Rome, children had to be under guardians decided by their fathers until they turned 14 years old and were subject to ask for help to trustees until the age of 25. Guardians taught everything from major courses to liberal arts to arts and physical education, while trustees take care of the property of the family. For such reason, even if a child is supposed to become the heir of rich parents, there was no difference for them until when they were taken care of by guardians and trustees with the children of slaves. As such, men were bound by the basic principles of the world until when Jesus came to us. When my middle school days, I used to listen to sermons about observing Sundays at Sunday worship services or revival meetings as follows. Observing Sundays is like climbing a ladder up to the heaven. By observing one Sunday, you have climbed one step of the ladder. You need to climb up every Sunday step by step. Otherwise, it becomes harder if missing 1 week, if missing multiple weeks, you could no longer reach the higher step. Therefore, you must keep Sundays. This is what the law teaches us. By observing Sundays, you would reach the heaven while you can't when failing to observe Sundays. When I was young, I used to put placards that were used for church events in the drawers of the lectern so that I could use them again later. At the time, we made the placards with cardboards. One day, some female members of the church were angry because of the used cardboard put under the lectern. At first, I thought they were upset because the lectern was kept dirty. But that was not it. They were angry because it could attract evil spirits to the church. I couldn't understand the logic of their faith. To those who have such a weak faith, it would be more understandable to compare climbing up ladders to the importance of Sunday observation. It could have been somewhat difficult to get if I say we observe Sunday because it's a commitment to God and having a relationship at the same time. Although we were all bound to live under the law, God, who sets the time, saved us from the slavery of the law by doing as verse 4 through 6 testify. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. The Son of God had come to this troubled world as the lowest and served for all from the least to the greatest. He suffered all pains and insults, but stayed obedient until he died on the cross. All these were because he wanted to have us, his children, allow us to call him Abba, Father. In addition to that, inherit the legacy of God. A weak and finite human father would like to do everything if his children call him Father. He would try as best as he can do. Then what would God, the Almighty, our Father, say for when the Almighty God gave his Son to us? That is why we can never be frustrated, no matter what, as long as we remember God is our Father. Even if our life feels like a walk into a valley shadowed by the death, and a walk through a tunnel where tears never stop, we are able to remain hopeful. The best evidence that shows God is always watching us is Christmas. The time when the Son of our Savior God had come to this land is testified in the verse as, when the time had fully come. This is when our desperate cry and God's providence meet together. This moment divided the Old Testament and the New, while the human history was split between the BC and AD. At the moment when we receive the Son of God who had come to this land as our Savior, our life becomes completely new from the life in the past. This moment is clearly testified as a series of drama and as a piece of drawing in the Luke chapter 2, verses from 1 to 7 as follows. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to the own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The first Roman emperor, Augustus, ordered to take a census of the entire Roman Empire and its colonies too. The Roman Empire at the time reached from the entire Europe, bordered by the Mediterranean Sea, northern Africa, including Egypt, to Palestine, and even to Persia. At this age of advanced science and technology, it is not easy to do a census on countries such as China or India with the huge national territories. And the census on the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago must have been a tremendous event engaging an enormous number of people. The census, forcibly done at the time, revealed the real intention of the leaders considering its purpose of military conscription and taxation. So the census was subject to strong aversion of the people. Although for those who stayed to live at a town where they were born, it was not a big deal. To those who moved from their hometown, it was too much inconvenience. Nevertheless, even under the power of the Roman emperor, the plan of God to send his son was heading toward the time set by God, wonderfully and miraculously. Micah, a prophet who lived 700 years before Christ, testified the birth of Jesus in the Micah chapter 5, verse 2 as follows. You, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. This testifies that Bethlehem is the place where the Savior was born. Bethlehem means a house of bread. This prophesies that Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, will be born in the house of bread. At the time when Emperor Augustus issued a decree of census, Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth in Galilee. If Augustus did not issue the decree, or if the decree was only limitedly effective in Roman Empire and not affected colonies, the prophesied birth of Jesus in Bethlehem would not have happened, and Jesus might have been born in Nazareth. The direct distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is approximately 80 miles or 128 kilometers. It would be longer if by walk. Without the order of the Roman emperor, what kind of a husband would dare to walk the long way accompanied by a wife who is expecting a baby? Moreover, walking was the only mode of transportation for the needy people at the time. If Emperor Augustus ordered the census a little bit earlier, Mary and Joseph would have given birth to baby Jesus back in Nazareth after registration. Or on the contrary, if the decree was issued later than that, the couple would have given birth to baby Jesus in Nazareth first and then come up to register with Jesus. The Roman emperor issued the decree of census for political, military, and economical purposes. But the time was set by God. So Luke chapter 2, verses from 1 to 7, emphasize the time as follows. Verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world. Verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. The time is when Galatians 4:4 says, when the time had fully come. God is the one who sets the greatest time when his son is sent to this land, while at the same time he sets the least time when a chick is born. Not only that, God sets the greatest and least time of our life as well. Our church praises God with the Hallelujah of Messiah written by Handel on Easter Sunday and Christmas worship services every year. A week or so ago, I happened to watch a TV show covering the Baroque music prospered in orphanages in the 18th century when Vivaldi and Handel was active. Orphanages started in the 18th century as a social institution, and it was not easy to correlate orphanages and music. Terms to mean an art training center is conservatory in English and conservateur in French. These all mean an accommodation. Conservatory began its service by teaching young boys and girls who were accommodated in orphanages. Handel first was a composer and businessman with very secular point of view. But he suffered a failure in the beginning of his life, but achieved a great success with the performance of oratorio. He got struck, driven by obesity and other adult diseases. It is not easy to fully recover from stroke even these days, but Handel miraculously recovered and started a new life. His friend Thomas Coram established an orphanage called Foundling Hospital by the time. Coram asked Handel to write an oratorio for the orphans, and Messiah has been created this way. Messiah was not an oratorio written to make money, so Handel decided his mind not to spend any money earned through this oratorio for himself. Based on the resolution, he donated all of the profit that he earned by the performance of Messiah every year at the Foundling Hospital, including his own property. Not only that, later he ran orphanage himself. Messiah is like Handel's Confession of Faith. It is composed of three parts with 53 songs. The most popular song might be the last one of the part two, Hallelujah Chorus. But the Messiah can be summarized with other two songs of Comfort Ye My People and Amen. As you are aware, the meaning of Amen is I pray as it is. Handel has made music for his own good and for his secular success. However, he realized through stroke that God had given him the talent to let him console people with music. So the Messiah singing the life of Jesus can be summarized that for the Lord is coming to comfort his people, may his will be accomplished. It also is his confession, saying, Lord, I took a long way in my life, but I will comfort people with music from now on. Amen. Handel started breaking his shell of selfishness and secular view of values inside with all his heart and soul. And God broke the shell outside to allow him to live a new life. Messiah, that Handel wrote, became the music of life for people to relish the deeper meaning of Christmas. Today is Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of baby Jesus 2,000 years ago, breaking the shell of the old legalism at the right time set by God. How did you spend this year? Did you feel that God turned away from you while you were continuously trying to break the shell that covered your life? Did you think that God forgets the time, even if you beg to get all the hardships, relationship that went wrong, bad practices, and addictions in the right direction? But today, on this Christmas day, listen carefully to the Lord. Take a look at the Lord. Do not confess that the Lord who created us and loves us knows better than us when is the right time? Do you not tie yourself again when God already free ourselves from our bonds? Now that God's grace is on us, we need to be the bridge so that others can have the mercy of the Lord. When we became able to play such role well, our life would become an artwork with new meaning and value. And the gateway to save lives and our daily life would become Christmas when we reaffirm the grace of the Lord. It is because the baby Jesus was lived again in 3 days and stays with us all the time. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. We thank you for allowing us to offer this worship to celebrate that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago to eternally save us from death for the sins, faults, and the law. We also thank you for the grace and the time set by God so that we can be here today. Help us not to believe that we are who we are because of what we did as legalists. Help us not forget that God made us His children and sent His Son at the right time, set by God, so that we can call God Abba, Father. Help us remember the everlasting birth can only be possible at the time set by God, as chicks can be born at the right time. On this Christmas day, we pray that we can be a bridge for the right time, connecting between God and us, and others and us. May we be the bridge, not the final destination, so that we can be used by God through the end of our life. May every day of our life be Christmas, where we experience the work of God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.